This podcast is brought to you by lineupmedia.fm.
Youth Baseball Talk. Only on lineupmedia.fm. Now your host, Jim Cromer.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to this week's edition of Youth Baseball Talk. I'm your host, Jim Cromer, and happy to come to you from the Lineup Media Group studios. Real excited about this week's episode, as I'd like to take the time and energy to thank and welcome in our newest sponsor, our title sponsor for the show. And thanks to these guys and their product, not only are they going to help keep our show rolling for a while, they've invented an unbelievable product, I guess, that's taken an old school theory and turn it into something real valuable. And you guys have heard me talk about Coach Earl Perrin and his good friend John Smoltz and Chris Verna, their trainer, and the Perfect Pitch and Throw, the rope trainer. Really like to thank those guys for coming on board. Each and every week, you know, the show will be brought to you by the rope trainer. It's a great training device used to get our pitchers ready without the excess throws. It can be used in a variety of ways, whether it be rehab, whether it be just warming up. We've said 1,000 times over that it looks like you can't drive by a ball diamond without there being Jaeger bands and things like that in the bullpen. Well, I know it's their dream and their vision that it won't be long when you drive by every bullpen, you're going to see a rope trainer in there just saving those throws, helping those guys get loose without wasting those bullets in the bullpen, so to speak. A great message from Coach Earl Perrin and the rope trainer, and of course, his good friend John Smoltz fully endorses it. And I know everybody on the show should be familiar with Coach, well, he's Coach now, but the Hall of Famer, John Smoltz, and his great induction speech, where he actually took a few moments to address the problem that we have in youth baseball. So I want to thank those guys, and we'll talk more about that as we move forward. But the reason that the tie-in is there is that I'm very excited about today's guest, as it's where I first learned about the rope trainer. So before we do that, make sure you check us out. Youthbaseballtalk.com is our website. You'll be able to catch up on some back episodes. You could catch the current episode. And, of course, you'll always see the videos from some of our great contributors of the program, Justin Stone with Elite TV out of Chicago, Rick Strickland from the St. Louis Pirates and his strict hitting rehab, and, of course, our good friend Domingo Ayala and Hysteria Baseball, brought to you by our good friends over at the Pitch Hitter. Make sure you check out thepitchhitter.com. Great training device for all of our young pitchers out there. Definitely going to help them all throw more strikes, and at the end of the day, that'll help with the pitch count as well. So really great stuff, as always. Make sure you check us out on Twitter. We do a lot of interaction on Twitter with our followers. At Podcast Baseball is one of the most active accounts out there for youth baseball, and we're very proud of that. But if you follow us, we're going to follow you back, because we want to know what topics you're interested in. It's a good way for us to stay up to date on all the great things that are going on in the game of youth baseball. Facebook.com/youthbaseballtalk. Love Facebook, as you can be a little more widespread on there. You can, you know, the videos, and you're not limited to characters. So that's a great way to share information. And, of course, keep the emails coming. info@youthbaseballtalk.com is our email here. Love the conversation. Love the topics. We've started our Sandlot, take it back to the Sandlot drive, and I'm amazed at how many people are on board with this. And I'm telling you, we're going to do something with this, and our good friend Adam Rosales from the Padres. Special thanks to him as well for taking time out of an already busy schedule to say, you know what, we got to get it back there. So really appreciate him. Make sure you subscribe to the show. It's the easiest way to stay up to date with what we're doing. Go to iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, Podbean, or any major podcast outlet, and just click that subscribe button. And, of course, that'll give you a chance to leave us a rating and a review. And you know, we hope we're worthy of a 5-star. Mention to you that we're proud to come to you from the Lineup Media Group studios. Make sure you check out lineupmedia.fm. Lots of great shows coming on board each and every week. Depending on what your entertainment value is, you may find a show that you just can't live without. So make sure you check them out, lineupmedia.fm. Keep sharing the show with your friends. That's the way we're growing, and we know it, and we have you to thank. So appreciate it very much. And, of course, our once-a-week Amazon plug. Just go to youthbaseballtalk.com. Find that Amazon banner down on the right. Everybody shops online. Just click it. Do your shopping. We get a small referral, doesn't cost you a thing. So special thanks to our friends at Amazon for allowing us to be part of their program. Okay, let's get to the show this week. Like I said at the beginning of the show, very happy to have the rope trainer and our friends from Perfect Pitch and Throw be a member. And, you know, I bumped into them, really, in an interesting situation at my first ever ABCA. And the ABCA is the American Baseball Coaches Association. They have an unbelievable convention every year. And I had heard about it, but had never attended before. And when I got into this, and again, I can't thank Justin Stone enough. He was very instrumental in like getting me involved in worlds that I had no idea existed. You know, as we decided that the message was real and it needed to be heard, the first thing he said to me was, you got to go to the ABCA. And I said, well, that sounds great, but what is it? And so when he told me what it was and he tried to explain it to me, he just looked at me and said, I can explain it to you or you can just go and see it because you're not going to believe it until you see it. And he was right. I was amazed. Had no idea this was going on. Had been coaching baseball for 9 years and didn't realize this unbelievable resource that was out there. And you know, I was very adamant about finding someone from the ABCA to get on here and let them tell you a little bit about what they are, who they are, what they do, and why you should be checking them out. So started having some correspondence on social media, which, you know, I'm a big social media guy. I think it's a great way to meet people, and it's amazing the connections you make. And all of a sudden, I'm following the ABCA because I'm learning just like everybody else should be doing. They've got a great podcast. They got great information. And they've got a gentleman over there now that has taken on a strong role. And I'd like to welcome him into the show because I've learned so much from him just in a short amount of time. We made connection. And now he's here to tell you a little bit more about the ABCA and what it means to you. So let's welcome him into the show. And I'm going to say his name one time because I've already been instructed that he doesn't want to be called by his first name. He wants to be called Sheets. So let's welcome in Jeremy Schietinger, and we're going to call him Sheets from here on out. Sheets, how you doing?
I'm doing great, Jim. Thanks for having me on the call, man. I'm beyond excited to hang out with you for a little bit and talk some baseball, and cannot be more appreciative of the opportunity.
Well, again, I got to tell you, I know you were on and you heard the beginning of the intro here. I don't know where you came in at, but my friend that has been a part of your convention actually spoke 1 year and was very privileged to do so, had told me, I can tell you about this thing, but because, you know, we were at a smaller one and it was great, but he said, I can't even begin to compare this one to that one. And not in a bad way, because these guys, you know, it's a little, he goes, but wait till you see this thing. So, yep. It was in Nashville, which was doable for me since I don't fly. A lot of people know that. So, you know, he was like, if you're going to get in this world and you're going to meet the people you need to meet, you need to go to the ABCA. And I remember pulling into the hotel and walking through the lobby and seeing all the people and the excitement. It's like, it's cold outside, but we're talking baseball. And then I walked into the room and I was blown away. So I want to try to get that full experience to our listeners. But first off, let's learn a little bit about you, who you are and your role with ABCA.
Okay. How much time you got?
I was going to say, you're what I call a baseball lifer. This could go all day, but why don't you give us the Cliff Notes version of who Sheets is? And I'm real interested in your role because, you know, we have a growing, you're like a college baseball liaison with ABCA. I know you're doing lots of things to promote it, but that's an interesting topic for us because this time of year, we're talking a lot about the recruiting process and things like that. So just tell us Absolutely. A little bit about yourself.
Yeah, and before I do that, let me just tell Justin Stone, I really obviously value and appreciate him spreading the great word. He spoke, I think it was 2 or 3 years ago, and he crushed it. I was a coach, and his information is so imperative if you're studying hitting. So obviously pass that on to Justin that I personally, but also the ABCA, we really appreciate him spreading the great word about what we're doing. My history, and I feel like it could take us 20 minutes to go through it, but I'll try to be really concise. From Frankfort, Kentucky, born and raised, and ended up playing Division II baseball at Kentucky Wesleyan College. I knew from the onset, the minute I hurt my shoulder when I was a sophomore, that I need to be prepared to go do something after this experience is over. I think the major league dream completely went out the window based on injury. And it's like, you know what, that may not have been a reality anyway. So we need to have a better grounded plan on what I want to do with the rest of my life. But I knew, Jim, I wasn't going to get away from baseball. And so I took a different route through college, man. I actually didn't go play summer baseball like where these guys are going out and playing in the Northwoods League or the Ohio Valley League or the Great Lakes League. I actually went and coached. And so I went back home and coached our 16-year-old all-star team and started kind of understanding what that feels like in the coaching box and all the things I need to be aware of at 20, 21 years old. Jumped out of college, immediately got into my first job at Georgetown College NAI program right outside of my hometown in Frankfort, and learned a lot. It was a great experience. Really got to cut my teeth on recruiting and coaching and development. Left there and actually wanted to run a baseball academy. I hooked up with my old college coach and he was running his, and it's like, man, you could help me out and do this, and started giving lessons and doing, running some camps and doing some things. I thought I could chase the dollar a little bit, and it just didn't fulfill my need. I wasn't around players. I didn't have that team feel. And so I actually got back into it as a recruiting coordinator and assistant at Brescia University, which is an NAIA school there in Owensboro. Another great experience for me. Got a chance to kind of run my own hitters and really get more in depth into the recruiting. And I took that summer, Jim, and I really got out and I worked every single camp I could get my hands on. I traveled all over the Midwest. It seemed like I lived in my car there for a summer, but I ended up impressing the staff at the University of Kentucky. Coach Cohen invited me to come on as the graduate assistant at UK my second and third year. So I was there for three. My second and third year, I was the director of baseball operations and ran our camps and had a great experience doing that. I left UK, wanted to get back into the coaching realm, and I took a Division II job at St. Joseph's College in Indiana and was a recruiting coordinator there for 2 years. And then I had an opportunity to come back to Louisville and be the head baseball coach at Spalding University, which is a Division III school. I had just come out of the probationary period, transitioning from NAI to Division III, and had a great 3 years there, really enjoyed it. And where all this kind of came about, had a couple guys that were ABCA board members, Jim, that were, you know, hey, we just created this position. We really want somebody that can really look out to and cater to the small college programs, and you'd be perfect for it. And it's like, well, I'm not sure I want to get out of coaching yet. I'll think about it and I'll look into it. And I kind of dismissed them for a few, probably a month and a half. And finally, we all worked an event together and they cornered me like, you need to call Craig, who's our new executive director, Craig Kylitz. You need to talk to him. You need to just hear him out. And you'll start to see this job could be what you're looking for. And I'm telling you, it was one phone call, Jim, and I was hooked. Now, I was an ABCA lifer before. I think this is my 12th continuous year. Last year, even working for ABCA was my 10th consecutive convention. I'm just passionate about what the association means, the brotherhood, the fraternity feel behind it. And so obviously I jumped on board, and I am the college division liaison, so I cater to Division II, Division III, NAI, Junior College, and the Pacific Association out west. And that part's been outstanding. That's absolutely my wheelhouse. Small college problems are always different than big school problems. And so you kind of got to get on their level and have lived it to understand it. And it's just grown from there, man. Being a coach and the only coach in the office, I've just tried to add things or promote things to our staff that, hey, these might be what our coaches are looking for. So we came up with the Calls from the Clubhouse podcast. We've done the ABCA chat that obviously you and I've connected on there, and allows for so much engagement. We're actually doing and I told you this idea about a week ago, we're taking a Barnstormers tour out to the West Coast, and we're hoping this gives us the platform and the blueprint for how to do this throughout the year. But the idea is that we're coming to that convention area. We're going to be in six cities on the West Coast and preach the ABCA and connect these youth high school travel coaches with great college clinicians that can teach them and give them just absolutely imperative info on how to go make their players better, which will make our game better. And so it seems like I'm trying to be diverse, but at the same time, these are just things that we know are going to enhance our brand, enhance our membership, and make our game better. So in a nutshell, that's it from A to Z.
Well, for those that like to follow along, I always give the website abca.org, abca.org. And you can learn a whole lot about their organization, what they're doing. Like I said, you mentioned the podcast, the Calls from the Clubhouse. Our show is basically 100% built around providing information for people, whether it be coaches, parents, kids, on up, right? Anybody that wants to learn, anybody that's out there searching for answers. Now, the ABCA, I think sometimes may come across to some people as for the higher-ups in baseball, but I got to be honest, that's not what I saw when I went there. When I went there, I was amazed at the number of people that were top-flight coaches, okay? They're learning and getting better, and of course, some of the clinics you guys would put on, some of the speakers that had something to say. You know, it amazes me how in this day and age we have these great coaches that are there getting better, but yet we still have a lot of youth coaches that want to not fight us, but, you know, they want to say, I'm just a youth coach, or I'm busy, or I don't have this. And as we say on the show all the time, our coaches need to be coached. We need to get better. Who is the ABCA for? I mean, can a youth coach, can a guy that cares, a guy that runs a program, can he benefit?
There is no doubt about it. And I always say it's like putting balls on a tee for me. Just because I'm a believer in what we're about and our mission. Our association is built for anybody that is a baseball purist, a baseball enthusiast. It could be the dad that just loves baseball, wants to learn more. That guy would benefit from a membership package in terms of being able to access our videos. He could get into our video website and listen to how all these coaches teach hitting, teach infield play, teach outfield play that are given right at our annual convention. I always go back to, again, from my upbringing, I didn't come from a lot of money, so we couldn't go to a lot of camps and I couldn't go get private lessons. Not that my dad would have been on it. My dad's 5'6" and knows nothing about baseball. He's a golfer. But if he wanted to, if he was that dad, he could get on there and have access for myself or access for him to look at videos, look at the content that we have that allows them to obviously go into a cage by themselves and work. But as you move up the ranks, obviously every youth coach needs to be around more baseball coaches. It's if you invest in yourself, you're obviously going to become out better on the other end. And that's what guys who attend our convention or are part of our association especially, but guys that attend our convention, and like you said, you walk in and you see at this Nashville one, you couldn't have picked a better one to walk into. There's 5,600 baseball coaches that love the game just like you do and are ate up with it just like you are, and you get a chance to have access to every single one of them. And I think that even goes more in depth for a youth or a high school coach. For instance, you're talking about guys really looking to improve themselves. A lot of people, if you wouldn't see this or you wouldn't think this at an ABCA convention, but Tim Corbin, who's had a great deal of success at Vanderbilt University, I know he won't mind me saying this, will always be on the front row or in the very front of the auditorium taking notes on every single speaker. He prides himself on the fact that he doesn't have it all figured out, as much success as he's had through his outlet's coaching career, that he can sit there and learn from anybody. And that's the beauty of the clinics themselves. And I'll get back to the convention experience, but the clinics themselves, you have an opportunity to hear from, I think we have 26, 27 speakers, and these guys are the best at what they do. I mean, when we start figuring out our speaker lineup, Jim, when we really start kind of diving what topics we want to cover, we're trying to find the very best that are out there doing it, that are having a lot of success, that are highly regarded, but are also great clinicians, and they're going to provide that 40-minute block with full of content. And so obviously there's that. The convention experience itself might be the very best networking opportunity that you could ever walk into, in that you'll see, and you saw this, you'll see pockets of conversations happening throughout the entire convention center, throughout the entire hotel. If there's a chair, there's probably two baseball coaches sitting there chatting it up. There's probably a group standing in a corner. There might be a group that found a business room that wasn't being used, and they're just sitting in there talking. And it's really these continuous hot stoves that happen throughout, that people are just, well, talk to me about what you guys are doing with your program. Where can I be better? We're doing this and we don't really like it. We want to improve on this. So I think anybody can obviously improve themselves or improve their team or their coaching ability by being part of what we're doing. But we always love, and I just, the convention experience is like no other. To see that in action, to walk into the world's largest collection of baseball coaches, to walk into the world's largest baseball trade show and be able to have access to any of the baseball products or baseball companies that are out there doing it. And like I was saying earlier, having access to these coaches, Tim Corbin being an example, name any of the top 30 coaches that are there. You can walk right up to them and say, hey, my name is Jim Cromer from Youth Baseball Talk, and I want to talk to you about what you're doing with your program. And more often than not, that coach will take 5 minutes, 10 minutes, 30 minutes to talk with you, because they know you're here for the right reasons. You're at the ABCA convention, and they believe in what we're about and what the mission of the entire association is.
You know, back to your point, I can't tell, it's hard to describe, really. I mean, again, all I can tell people to do is go to abca.org, but if you really, really want to do this thing, you got to go to one, right? And sure. Then I think you're hooked, because I just think about my own experience, and like I remember walking into the room, and it took me 2 days. It literally took me 2 days to consciously go to the vendor room. I mean, you could walk it, of course, but I mean 2 days to see what's going on. And whether you're a youth coach, whether you're coaching prep age, no matter what you're doing, I'm telling you, everything you want to do and everything you want to learn about is there. Everything from trips you can take to neat places for your team, whether they're young or old, really doesn't matter. You could be playing what I call man ball. You could be one of these guys that's not giving up the game. There are packages to go here, there, and everywhere. Great venues, great places. I mean, it's just new products, uniforms, new company, everything that's coming out from the big company. You know, of course, you know, Nike, Easton, Under Armour, all the, you know, Louisville, Rawlings. These companies are all there in force, right, showing you all the new stuff coming up. But then it's but for instance, I brought up Perfect Pitch and Throw. How I met Earl was just a complete stroke of luck, right? And mm-hmm. I was just amazed that, you know, here I am connecting with a guy from Florida, and come to find out, he comes up, you know, he takes this old towel drill, and with the help of John Smoltz and his trainer, they realize we can do it, we can take it one step better, and we can help everybody. Sure. And they come up with this amazing product. You tie it into John and his speech at the Hall of Fame and how passionate yep. his trainer is about injuries and how to prevent them and how to... And next thing you know, you're just sitting there and you're amazed that you're... I turn around and look. You know, I'm sitting up there. John Smoltz and Chris are on stage doing their thing, which was amazing, by the way. And mm-hmm. I turn around and look, and there's like 6,000 people in this auditorium. And they're all some of the tops at what they do. And that's again, it. We're back to... If we're going to be any good at this thing, we got to open up our ears and our minds and listen a little bit. God love everybody for volunteering their time. But you and I were kind of talking off air, and this is kind of my opinion. And it's good and bad, really. And that's this. When we were younger, we played 15 games. Okay? It's not that way anymore. I had a guy on here that brought up a great point. His name's Jerry Daniels. He runs runs programs all over the country. And he says, that's not true, Jim. We played about 120 games. And I looked at him, I said, that's impossible. He said, no, we played every day. We just didn't play organized.
Right.
Okay? We played a lot of games. We just didn't play organized. So I got to think about it, and I thought, well, how does that all relate? And it's this simple. When a coach, and God love, again, the majority of them volunteer, the majority of them do a great job, they do this. But if you don't really understand the health part of it, the teaching part, mm-hmm. how much can you do in 15 games, right? But now that we're together and we're playing 7 games a week, sometimes 5 games in 2 days, if we aren't smarter about what we're doing, okay, we can do some things wrong that do have a sometimes drastic effect on these kids. What better place to learn from than the best? That's what floored me about the whole thing. To your point, I saw Corbin, actually talked to him. I was fortunate enough to go to the what was it called, the Legends Lunch? Or is that what it's?
Oh, the Honors Luncheon.
Honors Luncheon. I was a guest mm-hmm. of Earl Perrin, and you know, they John Smoltz was honored. So I was a guest of his and actually got to sit in that room and hear from David Price and Smoltz, and Corbin was there. And I got to tell you, this is the honest truth. I don't know if David Price's speech is recorded somewhere with you guys. It should be heard by every aspiring baseball player in the country. He didn't sure. talk about, he sure. could have sat up there, and I don't know if you heard it, he could have sat up there and talked about, he just signed a big deal with Boston, okay? Mm-hmm. Guy's had a great career. He's got everything you could want. He talked about his experience of walking onto the campus at Vanderbilt and wondering if he could do this, about maybe wanting to quit and realizing, you know, getting there and everybody's as good as him. And what it turned into was the difference that Corbin made in his life. It wasn't sure. so much about base. I bet he only talked about baseball for 2-3 minutes of the whole conversation. He talked about the difference that Corbin makes in right. a young man's life, not just his, but as being a man, what he sees every day. And those are the types of things that are out there if we just want to go see them. So it was an amazing experience for me, and you brought it up. If you're ate up with it, I mean, you get around that, and you just want to learn and get better. I mean, so when you guys are putting this together – is that part of the environment that you guys are trying to create?
Absolutely. I mean, it should be a heaven for baseball rats. I mean, that's the way that's the mentality that I've brought to the table for our staff is this is about baseball rats. You just don't get not the average coach, but the guy who's just kind of half in, half out. You know, I like baseball. They taught me into coaching. I guess I'll go to the convention. No. Every guy that walks through that door, it might be their first convention, but I guarantee that guy's ate up with the game. He's been coaching a while, or he just got into coaching. He's 22, and he's fired up about the game and the opportunity to impact young men's lives. And every coach that signs up for our convention, and again, we'll move forward to the association, but from the convention side of it, they are ate up with the game, can't get enough of it. want to learn, want to connect, want to network. And that to me is the beauty of what our convention really becomes about. And, you know, again, you got to taste it for yourself. You got to see it for yourself. And I'll kind of dive into a couple realms here, but the part of it that I really get fascinated with as a first time guy like yourself, or for us, it's young coaches, it's rookie coaches, and we've got a rookie coaches mentoring program we just began. And I'm thinking back, man, I really wish we had that, because I would have attacked the convention's experience a little bit different. Because as a young coach, if you're 22, 23 years old, you have to understand that when you're going to move into this career and you're going to move up and move on, you better know some people, and you better have a network of folks that you can call upon that speak highly of you and are willing to call on your behalf or connect with people on your behalf. And so you got to network, and you've got to take advantage of the fact that there's thousands of coaches you can network with. I thought that it was a really unique experience for me this year, being in a suit, that there was still thousands of people that I probably touched hands with that I had never met before that are coming up and I'm connecting with and I've developed relationships with. And it's just so impactful to be able to, Jim, and I'm sure you've experienced this as well. There's a whole host of guys you can now text, you can now email, you can now connect with on social media, and you've got that instant, oh yeah, we just hung out in the lobby there on Saturday morning and talked hitting for an hour. And yeah, Jim, great to hear from you, man. You know, it to me is so huge that you're building your, like we talked before, as grassroots effort to connect yourself in the baseball world. But then you really start to see that the world is so small. You know, it's almost 3 degrees of separation between every coach that's in the room. You know, he played with this guy who played with this guy who you coached with here. And that's how you know each other. And that's how you connect. And so anyways, it's so deep, and it's you know, to your point, it's just for a baseball guy that's ate up with it, it's the best opportunity you can have to connect with people that think just the way you do. What I love about it is this: our association caters to all those folks, and not that being a member or coming to convention guarantees you success, right? Can't do that. But what it can say is this: when you look at the national championships this year, 9 of the 10 NAI World Series participants were ABCA members. I believe it was 8 of the 8 Division III World Series participants were ABCA members. 8 of the 8 Division II, ABCA members. 7 of the 8 Division I World Series participants, ABCA members. And so when you start to look that these people are going out and they've dedicated themselves to learning, getting better, opening themselves up, realizing they're not gurus and they don't have it figured out, and they can take information from anybody that's willing to offer it and digest it and apply it to what they're doing. And those lifelong learners are the ones that are out having success on the national level, playing in front of thousands of folks. And I think that speaks huge volumes about the impact of our association, and really the guys that jump in and dive into what we're about, they end up obviously benefiting from it.
Oh, that's, you know, it's amazing. I mean, to know that it's going on out there is amazing. All right, that's part one of our interview with Sheets. We're going to take a short break. When we come back, we'll hear from, of course, we'll hear from everybody's favorite, Domingo Ayala, and his theory of baseball is brought to you by The Pitch Hitter at thepitchhitter.com. Justin Stone with his Majestic Coach's Corner, and, of course, Rick Strickland with his Sandlot Recruitment Tip of the Week. You know, Sheets' stuff is so good, I decided to go a little long with him. So we're going to break it up into two episodes. So you've just heard part one of our interview with Sheets, and then next week you'll hear part two. So we'll see you guys on the other side of the break. Make sure you stick with us.
Hi, this is Jim Cromer, host of Youth Baseball Talk. When I'm not doing my show, I'm very busy coaching my son's baseball team. We head south every year to enjoy their awesome facilities with grass infields that their region provides. Now we can stay home and enjoy that same experience thanks to the new Gateway Dream Fields, located in historic St. Charles, Missouri. Gateway Dream Fields were built to provide the St. Louis area and Midwest region with an opportunity to play on some of the finest fields in the country. You will find Bermuda grass infields, age-appropriate field sizes and outfield walls, along with a spectacular two-tier fan observation area on the main fields. To learn more about this awesome facility and the great tournaments that they provide, simply go to gatewaydreamfields.com. That's gatewaydreamfields.com. or call 314-409-0530. If you're looking for that old-fashioned baseball feel, then look no further than Gateway Dream Fields. They were built just for you.
Att-
Attention, coaches, parents, and student athletes. Here at Youth Baseball Talk, one of the most common emails we receive from mom and dad are about the college recruitment and selection process. Far too often, these emails do not have happy endings. Let me tell you about our friend Mark Lineweaver in Perfect Placement. Perfect Placement identifies and helps you with important decision-making factors which are way too often overlooked in the college recruitment process, such as, is it the right student body size for you? Is it a comfortable proximity from your home? Do they offer your desired field of study? How about extracurricular activities that interest you? And of course, the proper level of competition for your skill set. Once they've identified these factors, they will contact those colleges and speak directly to the coaching staff in an effort to help you. To learn more about Perfect Placement, simply check out their website, perfectplacement.com. That's placement with a Y. To contact them, you can email them at info@perfectplacement.com. Remember, that's placement with a Y. Call 310-921-8669 for more information. That's 310-921-8669. Perfect Placement, specializing in assisting your student athlete.
Well, welcome back, everybody. It's time to go to our, everybody's friend and baseball aficionado, Domingo Ayala, for his theory of baseball. Love his episode this week. Domingo's going to tell us all about that midseason grind. Domingo, take it away.
Hi, Jim. How you doing? Thanks for having me on today. And thanks to the Pitch Hitter. If you're trying to be a better player, check out the Pitch Hitter. Now, it's about that time of season, Jim, where everything gets a little tougher. The season been going on for a long time. It seems like it's never going to end. The days are getting hotter and hotter. What I'm talking about is a mid-season grind. Sometimes people don't understand what the player go through. They show up to the game at 7 o'clock and watch a guy play for a couple of hours. But they don't understand this player showed up around noon, or that they were traveling for 4 hours before they even get to the field. And if you're in the minor league, you could be on a bus for 12 hours before you get to the field. Some of these players are away from their family for 6 months. They're living out of a suitcase. Now that's a real grind. But sometimes players think they're in a grind when they're not really in a grind. I'm talking about the guy who plays on the team that have 4 games a week for 3 months. The guy who don't travel more than 45 minutes to a game. And at the end of the season, he said he needs some time off. Come on, man. That's not a grind. And you're the same guy who wants to play in the big leagues and play 162 games plus spring training and the playoffs, but you have a tough time to play 45 games with 2 days off in between each one? Come on, man. The midseason grind is real, but only the big-time players can get through it. Well, that's all I got for today, Jim. I hope you enjoy, and thank you to the Pitch Hitter. Make sure you check it out.
Thank you, Domingo. We really appreciate it. And that's the official way to handle the midseason grind. We know all about that here in the Midwest, as it is awfully hot out there right now. Speaking of hot, let's take it on up to the majestic Coach's Corner with our good friend Justin Stone and his EliteBaseball.tv. Take it away, Justin.
Thanks, Jim. And this is Justin Stone with EliteBaseball.tv coming to you this week from the majestic Coach's Corner. And I always try to do these pieces based on the time of the year and what you're going through as a baseball player or a parent managing, coaching, or just working with your player on a day-to-day basis. So now is a time for reflection. At the end of your summer season, I think it's good that you as a parent sit down with your player, boy or girl, and identify first the positives that we had of the year. What did we get better at? What did we excel at? What did we enjoy? Where did we have fun? I think it's important to list all four of those things and go through and make specific answers of why we enjoy the great game of baseball. I think it's important in getting that motivation to carry you on into the next piece. The fall is the best time for us to go through our training. Generally here in the Midwest, it's our best time for weather. It's dry, temperatures are very, very comfortable, and oftentimes we have less traffic on the fields where we can get out and practice on a regular basis. So I think it's also time to reflect on what are our areas of need. We need to see where can we improve going into this offseason and what should our goals be. Goal setting is very important for youth athletes, for all athletes, to kind of see where do we need to go from year to year, How do we progress as the speed of the game increases? And also keeping a detailed list of those goals so you can reflect back and see how you improved from that year. So going through and see what are our areas of need on the defensive side. Could be on the offensive side with our swing. Strength and conditioning becomes more important as the speed of the game increases and we're progressing and getting older. But give yourself some detailed criticism so we can set some goals going into the new year. And finally, execution. How are we going to go about achieving those goals? A detailed plan needs to be in place. To set a goal and not have a plan to achieve it is setting yourself up for failure. So think about, do we need help in certain areas? Do I need to see a strength and conditioning coach? Do I need a swing coach? Do I need to get with a pitching instructor? Are these things that we can seek out the information ourselves and work on it with father and son, mother and son, mother and daughter? All of those things can be answered, but you have to talk about it as a group in order to achieve it. So getting those things down on paper, getting them in the open, and coming up with a detailed plan on how you're going to execute it will make your fall extremely productive. And that's where we come into play. At ElitePaseball.tv, we have these things, these plans already in place for you on the hitting, pitching, and defensive side. All you got to do is follow the plan. Find your specific area of need or simply ask us by coming to our members blog as well, where you can ask, post video, and we get back to you the same day. So come check us out. Until next week, I'm Justin Stone from the Majestic Coach's Corner, and we'll see you on the field.
Thanks, Justin. Really appreciate it. Always great advice, and special thanks to Majestic and, of course, ElitePaseball.tv for bringing us Justin each and every week. It's time now to go over to our good friend Rick Strickland and his St. Louis Pirates Sandlot Recruitment Tip of the Week. Rick, take it away.
Hey, Jim. Thanks for having me back on the show again this week. As we wrap up the last few days of the summer and get ready to bridge ourselves over into the fall months. Probably a little bit of a rant today as I see, you know, how this whole college baseball recruitment process is kind of winding down. Folks are starting to think about whether or not they should play fall ball, what to do in the off season, things of that nature. We get those questions a lot from our families. This is more mainly towards the high school kids who visualize themselves as college players, and they get their recruitment done, and they settle in on a school and things of that nature. You know, one of the things I see a lot, especially with Midwestern, more northern kids, is even if they're not playing a fall sport, football, track, cross country, things of that nature, we see a lot of these guys opting to not play or prepare themselves for their sport. It's almost like people are coming to the conclusion that once they get done with the recruitment process, they have satisfied their goal. And we see a lot more of that. We see a lot more kids that are getting into select ball for the simple fact that they want to just get a college scholarship, and that's it. Heard yesterday a young kid that was 2019 committed to one of the universities, and one of her parents had asked that family if what they're planning on doing in the fall. And says, no, I don't know if I'll continue to play prospect baseball or club baseball is what I meant to say. I think I'm going to wait out and see, you know, just play. I don't think we need to do that anymore. Well, I think the game and the message to the folks that are listening right now, the game is that once you get that done, then the real work starts. You know, I think most kids have to come to the conclusion that once I get that offer, once I need to continue to work hard so that offer remains on the table. The one misconception about all that is that once you settle on that, that school is bound to bring you on campus. And that's not necessarily true until you actually sign a national letter of intent. So my advice to young kids is that once you settle on a school and they've committed to you, especially if it's in the earlier standpoint, I'm a freshman, sophomore kid that is fortunate enough and good enough to get a college scholarship offer and accept it, that now I need to continue to work so I can continue to keep that commitment with that school. It's not a time to rest. We have a lot of kids that in our area that once they get that offer or once they settle in school that they want to stop working. The problem is with northern kids is that we don't play enough baseball. And being a professional scout myself, one of the things we want to do is we want to have a story on the kids. And the more times we can turn the pages on that kid, the more information we have, so the more we know about him from that perspective. For a high school kid, the more they play, the more they accumulate. It's just opportunity time that they missed off. Now, that being said, I'm not going to ask a kid that's thrown 90 innings in high school and summer ball. That type of kid probably needs to be looking at not pitching in the fall and taking some time off to rest and recover his arm. So we're not crazy about that. But what we do want is we want these young guys who are playing and work their tails off to be in a position to accept the college scholarship spot. Now the next goal is to go ahead and be a starter when you walk on campus. And that involves training and continuing to play and continue to expand your game. And the only way to do that is to continue to play. So I wanted to get that out of the way because we run into that every year this time of year where people will decide, I'm going to take the fall off and do absolutely nothing, basically, at that point. So we want to make sure that kids know that the real process starts after you commit. Thank you, Jim, for letting me rant this week on the Blast Motion, Rick Strickland, whatever you call this half hour. Look forward to speaking to you next week on a variety of different subjects. Thanks, Jim. See you next week.
Great stuff as always from Rick. Really appreciate it as usual. Always great insight from all of our contributors here at Youth Baseball Talk. Really want to thank Sheets for coming on this week and telling us all about the ABCA. I'm really looking forward to next week's continuous episode as we're going to dive into some more stuff for you guys that I think is really important. The ABCA has recognized the growth in youth baseball and where we need it to go and some things that we need to do. So I really appreciate them getting more involved as I think it can only help us. But again, I do know how busy Sheets is, and for him to take the time to tell us about it, I highly recommend it. Obviously, you know, it's not a perfect scenario if you're on the East Coast and you want to try to check it out. If you don't have unlimited resources, get all the way to Anaheim. But, you know, if you can get there, who wouldn't want to be in Anaheim in January? But I assure you, in the near future, as they travel all over the country having their conventions, you know, if travel is an issue for you and it gets close enough to you, try to catch one, because I tell you, you will be real happy you did. So can't wait to bring you part two of that next week. So really happy to have everybody, and thanks again for your support and everything you guys do to keep Youth Baseball Talk growing and thriving. So whatever you're doing, keep it up, and look forward to hearing from you guys. Don't forget, info@youthbaseballtalk.com is my email. I get lots of emails from you guys talking about the various things that either we talk about or that you're interested in, so keep those coming. Make sure you're checking us out at Podcast Baseball on Twitter and, of course, our Facebook page. You know, make sure you search for Youth Baseball Talk, and you'll find us very easy. Really enjoy it all, and look forward to hearing from you. I'm your host, Jim Cromer, and special thanks to my producer, Brian, for, as always, putting together a quality show. And we will see you next week.
Tune in next week for another edition of Youth Baseball Talk. Subscribe and leave a rating and review on iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, or wherever you listen to the show. Find us online at youthbaseballtalk.com, facebook.com/youthbaseballtalk. Or on Twitter at Podcast Baseball. Plus, check out all of our podcasts at lineupmedia.fm.
This podcast was a presentation of lineupmedia.fm.